T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The latest on what's going on in baseball with Evan Drellick of The Athletic. Evan, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing good, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So as we sit here today, late afternoon, Wednesday, June 3rd, baseball players made an offer. The owners didn't like it. What's their response been so far to the players?
Oh, the flat-out rejection today, which we knew was coming, but MLB's stance is that it's not going to offer another proposal, but it will listen if the players want to talk about something. The players feel like they don't have to negotiate against themselves. They don't want a pay cut, as we all know, but they don't want to have to come back with a new offer after they just made an offer and the league didn't rebut it. So we're at an interesting point here where the league can try to go ahead and play. They can try to set a schedule of 50-odd games and see if the union tries to stand in its way in that March agreement. The way it reads to me, and I think to the league as well, is that the league has that power, but that's not entirely clear yet.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I wonder about, because as baseball fans, we're trying to get our head around the 50-game season. I don't know if it's worth it. Do you get a sense that the players would say, you know what, it's 50 games, it's still 30% of our salaries, let's go? Or do you get a sense they would refuse and say, we are not going to play a 50-game season?
I don't think they could refuse, because they have that March agreement where all of this has been outlined. If they refused, I think the owners would have a rightful grievance, unless the reason they were refusing is that they think in that agreement the owners don't actually have this power. Look, the players in the union right now feel like the league is using this solely as a tactic, as a threat. We're going to play as few games as possible to get salary concessions. And on the other side, ownership has been close to livid for weeks now over the way the players have interpreted that March agreement. So I thought this week we'd be having a back and forth, we'd be getting somewhere. And it's not like the season hangs in the balance right now, but they are really at loggerheads.
Why not counter? Even if it's not budging that much from what their proposal was of a week and a half ago of 82 games, prorated, then the sliding scale, why not move at all? Because I think the assumption would be if they move at all, even if it's slightly, the players would then counter and move a little bit from their deal. And that's a negotiation. At least that's the way I understand it. Why this strategy of basically doing nothing?
It might be because the owners feel the players are so firm in receiving their prorated salaries and receiving what they agreed to in March that it's not worth it. If indeed the players will not come off it, and that is what has been communicated, or at least that is what the league office believes has been communicated, then they're saying all they can afford is these 50-odd games, that any higher number of games. So the league effectively is throwing it back in the players' court. We have something to talk about here if you guys come off of this salary stance.
Do you think the players would come off that stance? Obviously not to the point of the way the owners offered it with the kind of cuts that they made, but do you get the sense that they would at least move a little bit off of the stance of it's got to be prorated and nothing less?
Evan, that is the literally hundreds of millions of dollars question, and I don't have the answer. To this point, I have no reason not to take them at their word. And the word that they've given the league as well, that they are not going to move off it. If it was the final moment for a decision to be made and the league was willing to do, say, a 10% cut, Would the players then give an okay to that? Maybe, but I don't know. I have no reason to think at this point everything they have said has been on the level, that they will not take a further pay cut. They feel they gave back 50% of their salaries already based on an 82-game schedule.
We're talking to Evan Drellick. Do you think the owners are trying to split the union? Is that still a part of their strategy?
There's, on both sides, long-term negotiating tactics at play. That's always going to be the case, and the history always feeds into it. Ken Kendrick, the owner of the Diamondbacks, was on the radio, I think, locally in Arizona yesterday, and he made a reference to the players. The schedule wouldn't be able to go into November.
Right, right.
And the offer that the league made was that the players made was to play the regular season through the end of October. Would the owners really not do that? It's hard for me to believe, but they're constantly poking each other in the eye.
Do you sense any split between the players? I mean, we saw Trevor Bauer tell Scott Boras to stay out of it, you know, things like that. But do you get a sense that the players are in complete solidarity on this?
I don't think there is ever a moment in the labor negotiation where there is complete solidarity, maybe outside of the moment you have a work stoppage where every player is on strike or there's a lockout. But even then, you're going to have varying opinions. There are players and agents who probably look at this situation right now, and we know look at this situation right now, and don't want the hardline stance that the union has taken so far. And there are people who want an even harder line stance. There were some agents who did not want the union to respond at all to the last offer. So you're always going to have this factioning that's going on right now, but not enough, at least at the moment, to essentially overthrow the decision that has been made.
How many owners don't want to play? Is it a significant number? Is it a number at all of owners that look at this and say, we don't want to pay the players anything? We'd rather just not have a season, despite the long-term, you know, harm to the game, which I hope they understand. But how many owners feel that way, from what you understand?
This is something Ken Rosenthal and I have been trying to get an understanding of, and it's different answers from different people. You would need at least 8 owners to stand in the way of a season for that to happen. There's no question there are owners who have, every single one has a different financial situation, so their incentives to play line up differently. But at the end of the day, the overarching point is true that if they don't play, long-term, they're going to be worse off. So even with an acknowledgement of the faction that goes on amongst the owners, it's hard to see 8 of them, if a deal was on the table that got it to where they wanted to go, to saying, we're not going to play. And in fact, the message right now is, we are going to play.
Right,
we're going to play at 50 games.
And that really is the billion-dollar question of, if that's the only kind of middle ground, I don't even know if it's a middle ground, but letter of the law, if the players said, we agreed to prorated amount of games, and the owners say, okay, fine, it's 50, would they be so upset that it isn't good faith? Because it wouldn't be good faith. The only reason they'd be playing 50 games, we know it, is because they don't want to pay them. Not because of health reasons, not because of scheduling reasons. It would be strictly because of money, and I don't think that qualifies as good faith, and that's the worry that the players would say that and say, this isn't good faith negotiations. That's not what we agreed to.
You're hitting the nail on the head here. If the players wanted to fight it, they would bring up wording in that March agreement that says the league would have to use, and I quote, best efforts to play as many games as possible.
Best efforts, right.
On a practical level, to send this thing to a grievance and to an arbitrator, it could play out. It's not playing out quickly, and it would be incredibly ugly. But if they do feel that the league is taking its power too far, and even if they don't, probably the way this has gone on both sides is going to influence 21. The negotiation they had previously about the draft went this same direction, where the owners were getting something that actually might have given the players more money in total for the draft. They want to do a 10-round draft, but there were givebacks in there that the players didn't like. So the players said, shove off. The league came back and said, fine, you're getting five rounds in the draft. And clubs don't like that. They want the young, inexpensive players. But again, it goes back to that poking each other in the eye that they keep doing.
Do they, and we're talking Evan Drellick of The Athletic, does Rob Manfred specifically understand what's at stake with not having a season? Because he obviously knows the good faith question if they just try to impose 50 games. Does he understand that this season not happening is, it's catastrophic for the future of baseball, that this could be 1994, but far worse? Is that something maybe they just don't believe that. Maybe they think, it's not a big deal. What's your sense on what they think about that?
I think everybody understands what's at stake. What you have to remember about Rob Manfred is he started working as outside counsel to Major League Baseball in the late 80s. He was integral in working through the agreement when they came back from the strike. He was with Major League Baseball in that period, even if he was still at an outside firm. He is no stranger to these labor wars and specifically what happened in the last real work stoppage we had here. And my guess is there's a level of confidence that they can impose their will, that they can move forward this way. The league still says they would prefer a longer schedule under their terms. And I think everybody from just a competitive standpoint would feel better about a longer schedule.
Does playing a 50-game season, if that happens, allow these negotiations to take longer? Because obviously if it's only 50 games, you need less time, assuming you started the playoffs in October. Is that also part of the thinking that it could buy them more time to figure this thing out? That, all right, we made it work out, we're going to have a 75-game season.
I guess, but if you take those extra 2 weeks and then decide you want to play 80, well, you're not, as it stands now, you're not playing into November unless something changes there. So you don't have to start right away. You know, they could work something else out on the money for 50 games, but it goes back to the idea, if you want 82, you got to move pretty quickly here because that's starting the first week of July and spring training was supposed to be middle of June. And if you sit and stare at each other and keep crapping all over each other for the next month, You're not getting 82 games unless you want to play into like December.
Yeah, which they can't do. I mean, they can't do it for many reasons, especially the worry of a second wave and what that would do economically to restart the season and then not even get the big payoff of the playoffs if, God forbid, they have to shut this thing down again.
And one thing about the scheduling at the end of the year, it's likely, and we reported this today, that the major broadcast partners, including Fox, want the World Series where it is. They don't want to push it back
right,
because you get advertising before the election. You're going up against the NFL. You're going up against Michigan, Ohio State. So it's not only in MLB's hands. They have to keep their partners who, to this point, are still shelling out pretty good money as far as we know. They got to keep them happy.
Are there other things, because you always think about this in a negotiation, other creative ways to make a deal? Because we know the players have not been thrilled with the current CBA, hence why we were probably going to have an issue at the end of 2021. Maybe with service time, maybe with the qualifying offer. Are there other things being talked about that may kind of help a deal happen, or have they been strictly on games and money? Is that basically been the discussion?
There are people on both sides, and that can extend outside of the direct negotiating party. So there are ownership people, agents who have all sorts of ideas about this, and agents who want the union to negotiate protections for this winter with the feeling that, okay, you stick firm here, they're just going to come back hard in the winter. They're not going to spend in free agency. Arbitration guys are going to get cut. There are people who want that, but the feeling is, you don't have time to do it. And everything in a collective bargaining agreement, most everything, you can put a dollar figure on. You can say, all right, so you give the owners relief this year. That's worth like $300 million. If they get rid of, say, the qualifying offer, the thing that keeps teams from signing some free agents, that might be worth considerably more. I don't have the exact number, but it takes time to line up those dollar values to each side. And time, as we know, is of the essence.
So right now, you know, it fluctuates for me by the minute, just hearing you guys. Where are you on your confidence level that there's going to be a baseball season in 2020 of any kind?
At this moment, there's no reason to believe they won't play as the league is describing it, that they won't be able to play a 50-game shortened season. The question is whether the players would attempt to challenge that, whether they would read that document from March and look at that part about best efforts and try to fight it and stand in the way. My gut is it's more likely they play it and then get their revenge, so to speak, in collective bargaining. That this will not be forgotten, and already the players feel galvanized, and the owners feel galvanized. The only thing that's come out of this process so far is everybody being even further at each other's throats than they were before.
Yeah. I don't like this idea, but I just ask it. If they had a 50-game season, financially, what would it do to then expand the playoffs even more in terms of paying the players who are now in the playoffs, but also in terms of maybe extra revenue they would bring in? Is that an option, or would they just look at it as same playoff format, we're just cutting down the regular season games?
That's a really good point, and I should have gotten to it earlier. If they want to expand the playoffs, that power isn't in there. There's two sections in that March agreement, one about scheduling the regular season and one about scheduling the postseason. As I read it, and I have no information to the contrary, the league cannot unilaterally expand the playoffs this year. So if they want that expanded playoff and they want the revenue that comes from it, this is leverage for the union. They can say, all right, you guys don't want to give us our pro rata for 80 games or 70 games. That's fine. But you're not getting your expanded playoffs in whatever X hundreds of millions that would entail.
Interesting. Boy, oh boy. This is the opposite of fun, that's for sure. But Evan, I always appreciate it. Great reporting as usual, and thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you. Evan Drellick of The Athletic, the latest between the players and the owners, that the worst-case scenario could be, hey, it's a 50-game season, because they couldn't agree on something for more. We'll see how it unfolds. I mean, we're in the middle of the week now. I remember last week saying, we'll have a better idea as the week goes on. As we sit here today on June 3rd, I still think there's a lot of confusion on what's going to happen next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.